Hello, everyone. Welcome to Three Essential Questions, New Mexico's business and nonprofit podcast, where we have conversations with New Mexico business owners so you know what they're doing and why it's important to know about them. I'm your host, Pam Myers, and I'm here with my always fabulous co-host, Erica Yoakum. And our guest today is Andrew Cordova Andrews. And Andrew is the CEO and founder of Hybrid Helix. And we're looking forward to this conversation. Andrew, tell us all about Hybrid Helix and how, well, first of all, start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I tell people that I took the 10-year path to gain my education. So it was just in 2019 that I finally got my master's degree. And, you know, I knew ever since I was young that I, you know, wanted to start a business. I just didn't know what it was going to be about. And I wasn't actually motivated in the same way other people were financially. You know, I knew I wanted to make a difference, and I just needed to make sure that I figured out how to do that in a way that was true to myself. So it's taken a while to get there as well. But the past 7-8 years have been the most constructive of my life in terms of being able to build that. So, but yeah, before that, before I went out and ventured on my own to start my business, I was a call center supervisor at a couple of larger Fortune 500 organizations, and spent a lot of time working for a large cell phone company as well. So knew a lot about technology and kind of embraced that throughout the millennium. That is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
What inspired you to come up with the business model for Hybrid and talk about your mission in that?
Yeah. So, you know, actually Hybrid Helix isn't the first business. I actually started with a business called Integrated Refreshment Logistics, which is technically still registered, still active, still part of our mission. But it's something that I was inspired to create from a passion that generated when I was in elementary school, actually. I was here at, I think it was ACMA Elementary in New Mexico, and I had a visit of firefighters come by. And they were talking to us of the importance of water conservation. And I remember the one thing that stuck with me is to never keep the faucet on while you're brushing your teeth. Because if everyone just did that, we'd save hundreds of millions of gallons and we'd have less of a water problem. And I thought, and it shocked me that I felt like no one was solving this problem. I was like, this is the biggest problem we have right now. We need as much access to water as possible, you know, throughout the world. But to know that it would actually be an issue with that really shocked me. So I knew then that question would eventually lead to something. I just didn't know quite what it would be. And that's kind of what inspired the first company.
Yeah. Okay.
But then my journey from there was interesting because me and my business partner, we worked for a number of years engineering and kind of trying to figure out exactly how it would work. And essentially what it's intended to become is eventually one day, imagine any beverage in existence right out of your sink. The intention of this business is not to be profitable for profit's sake, but we want to put 25% of its revenue towards actually combating, mitigating climate change. And in addition to that, we want the company to eventually be able to have enough infrastructure to provide water free for all.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of that's my biggest passion project. But Hybrid Helix has now become a stepping stone to getting there.
Okay. And how do you see Hybrid Helix becoming a stepping stone to that?
That's a good question. The reason we didn't proceed with getting venture capital funding, even though we had started that kind of process about 10 years ago, was we realized that it had the potential to become kind of like Google in revenue size. But just like Google can change their mission, we wanted to try and prevent that in some way. We wanted to try and understand how can we design this company in a way where it could live its social purpose as time went on. And it took a while thinking of that. I was inspired by flat hierarchy organizations, and eventually we decided to put things on pause until we solved that. So Hybrid Helix is interesting. It's, we call ourselves a consulting firm. Basically, we're business doctors. We help find and solve your biggest problems. And we do that for individual entrepreneurs, whether it's helping with strategy or putting right systems in place, or we help larger enterprise if they need more, you know, operational level support. It just kind of depends. But the idea is we help organizations turn ambitious ideas into workable systems. We can do that through execution support, venture management support, operating systems. And recently, we found responsible AI implementation as something that helps some entrepreneurs as well. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, Hybrid Helix is designed to become a business incubator. And as a business incubator, once we get enough revenue to do so, the first business we want to incubate is IRL. And before that, there's just one little layer in between. We're actively working on it in the next couple months. I'm hopefully going to have a first version. And it's something we call the change tank. And I know we talked briefly about this when I had met you, Pam. But the change tank is essentially a system we believe will... Hybrid Helix is the operating engine we're building now. And change tank is kind of like the larger vision behind it. It creates a pathway to make a democratic corporation, one that's actually owned by all of the people within it. And so that concept, we're trying to iron out exactly how to do it within the existing legal systems we have. And then the change tank will be a nonprofit foundation that will oversee that and manage that and ensure that it holds true to that particular way of operating. And that's what we want IRL to be, a democratic organization that makes its decisions through votes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that idea. So basically, any company use your services, they come to you and say, okay, this is the problem that I have. And
sometimes it's interesting. I think a lot of entrepreneurs will come to me and tell me what their problem is. And I remember this happened with an owner about 3 years ago that was really funny. He came to me saying that he needed a landing page, just a new marketing page, help him get some new clients out of this event they were going to. And the more I learned about his business, the more I realized that he has serious problems. The business had been in business for 23 years and had failed to breach the seven-figure mark in its revenue. And the clients loved it. Like his customer service culture, everything was exactly what you would kind of expect it to be for a company to exist for that long. He knew what he was doing. He was clearly experienced in that regard. And all it came down to were just weak systems. The systems that he built the company with never grew up. And because they never grew up, they were never able to handle growing revenue, adding staff. And ultimately, it kind of enslaved him to the business. He couldn't take time off because if he did, things would fall apart. And that's another thing that we try and do for our clients. And we often run into that being the bigger challenge. I need more time with my family. The business is not allowing me to do that. How do I fix this? I've already spent 5 years trying to fix it and it's not done.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a common problem. Yeah. Yeah. And right. You want to really be successful, you want to solve that problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Ultimately. So, and you know, it really is one of those things where, a lot of companies kind of end up living in a silo. You know, you are working that business for 10 plus hours a day. And it's not something that you do get a lot of exposure to how other businesses are operating. And so because we've kind of worked with such a vast variety of businesses and we've, you know, seen inside corporations and, you know, freelancer opportunities and different things, we kind of understand the market in such a way that sometimes allows us to see the problems a little bit more clearly than someone who's been working on a single business for so long.
Yeah.
I have to call that bark mark. Not seeing the forest for the tree, but you've got your head pressed up against the tree for so long that you literally have a bark mark on your forehead. Yeah, that's, as a solopreneur, we're all familiar with that for sure.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's compounded with, like for myself, my personal challenge was ADHD. And I thought I understood it when I got diagnosed with it. No idea what was going on back then. It took me like 8, 9 years for me to finally start understanding it even more. And then by the time I actually did understand it, I was already knee deep in building my business and running into the same problems that, you know, other entrepreneurs running into. And that's kind of when we pivoted. You know, we started originally offering marketing services, and we realized that we wanted to expand into consulting on actual problems that we knew how to solve. And the biggest problem we wanted to solve was the problems we were experiencing. And once we figured out how to solve those, we realized we had something that could help people. And not to say that's the only solution. It just depends. But we do know how to help with that.
And I love that you're tackling the AI issue, how to do AI ethically. It's such a hot topic right now, right? And people are so concerned about it. But I think there are ways, right? I mean,
yeah, AI is an interesting problem. I think there's a lot of questions to be had on its eventual commercial viability. As of now, I think the only company that's actually bringing enough revenue to support its operation is Google, but that's because Google has such a big operation otherwise.
Right.
And so it's something that's curious, you know, how it's going to work out commercially long term. But what I do know is that the technology does have the power to make a difference. It's just, what's interesting about it is because it has been trained off of all of human knowledge, so to speak, is kind of what they imagine it to be, even though it's not, maybe not necessarily that. It's very good at convincing us it's right without necessarily giving us enough proof of that. Sometimes it's very able to do so in ways that just are like, wow, that sounds like a great argument. But then you have one look through another business expert, he could tell you why that's a terrible strategy. So what we try and do is we try and build AI that's aware of its own flaws in such a way that it can be a partner in helping you brainstorm. But ultimately, we believe in human oversight as the number one component to validating.
Right.
So AI can always help you save time. It can help you save a lot of money. It helps us automatically keep aware of changing factors in the environment, like political changes in business and environmental changes in business and things like that. And it's really good at putting that information together and regurgitating it. But in terms of making a decision on that information, it should only be a sparring partner, not the decider.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. So who's your ideal customer, Andrew?
It's a good question. I would say anyone who runs into not being able to solve their biggest problem. That could be you hitting a wall with being able to handle your revenue. That could be employee and team motivation, or it could really come down to just not knowing your next right step. And each of those problems, we have kind of like a tailored blueprint solution package that we offer, and we just offer the support they need. If the biggest problem is ADHD, we have some practical ways to help tackle that and offer ongoing support and help in what we think is a modest cost.
Yeah. And you do everything online, or do you meet with people? Do you like go to somebody's offices or both?
Oh, yeah, both. I definitely love going in person where possible, especially if you're trying to figure out the biggest problem in the business, because you'll be able to, you know, obviously meet the other team members and employees and have those discussions that are revealing to that. But it's very possible to do so online, and I've done so online for a very long time as well. We've helped to companies as far as, I'm pretty sure the UK has been the farthest, but in terms of supporting locally, we have a lot of the local service businesses that we meet personally every month or so, and we're able to actually dive into their problems while in enjoying lunch.
Yeah. How important do you think company culture is to long-term success?
That's a good question. What I think companies fail to understand when it comes to culture is they don't understand that there's actually a formula to helping to make sure that your people are motivated. Back in the 70s, there was a very detailed system created out of academia called, what was it called? It was called the job characteristics model. And the job characteristics model is a formula that supposes the various things that can lead to enhanced motivation out of your team. And I view that type of motivation as something that actually commits you to working harder for the business, that makes you happy and joyous with the company. And the decisions that tune each lever in that formula, for example, the level of autonomy you give an employee, if they can choose their own schedule, if they get to do a variety of different tasks, if the task has a degree of challenge to them, and even the feedback that they get from their supervisors, managers, all play a role. And if it's done right and each of those pieces is addressed, you've created a culture that is supportive of what they need to be motivated. And I think that leads to success. And it's important to note that in that formula, autonomy and feedback are both multipliers. So that means you can have the best skill variety, you can have the best, you know, challenge, you can have something that really inspires them to want to work for that role. But if you give them no autonomy or you only give them feedback once a year, you've automatically killed all the potential motivation just from that decision. So it's a formula that we see play out really, really cool in certain companies. I don't necessarily support these companies, but you can see the model work. So like Uber, DoorDash, they've maximized the motivation potential score. They've completely flipped it outside and multiplied it as high as it can go without adding any type of like formal job expansion or role separation. Like if they started expanding into other roles and different trainings and they would allow you to move up in the business, that would actually theoretically maximize out that model. But that's where they're lacking, obviously, and where I don't believe in their model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, micromanaging is never successful, right?
No. And in fact, autonomy can be more than just like them picking their schedule. It's, hey, how I'd like to get this done. I'm going to let you decide how to do that. Right. And giving that trust to your team is huge. You know, a little bit of spending power, a little bit of authority, and it can really go a long way to helping them not only improve their own skills, but ultimately help your business grow.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. What's been like your biggest challenge with what you're doing, trying to grow your own business?
I would say it really comes back 30. Down to.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say it really comes back down to the ADHD. Sometimes it's the what we typically call shiny object syndrome. There's all kinds of things that need to occur to eventually make our services the best they could be. But my actual capacity to do things is limited by numerous things, including ADHD. What I found incredible is, like, in the past couple of years, AI has been a huge factor in helping me, like, clarify things a bit more. Mm-hmm. And I constantly have it challenge me on, is this something we should prioritize over anything else in the queue? Does it make sense for us to do this? And almost every time it says, no, you need to get all this other stuff done. We'll put this on the back burner to make sure you don't forget about it. And that solves my anxiety about needing to do it now, because now I know I'm not going to forget about it. It's going to come back up. And that's really allowed us to progress. I think we're like 300% better than we were even last year, just in that small improvement alone.
Oh, awesome. Excuse me. Awesome. How do you balance? I mean, you've said that, yeah, that's a problem. How do you balance that with, you know, the strategy and supporting your clients? I mean, that must be a challenge.
It's a good question. One of the things that we did in the past 3 months is we took time to build what we call an ADHD accommodation system. And I'm not going to say that it's, you know, formally the best way to do it, but we are testing and trying to develop a way that hopefully will be a guidepost that other organizations can use. We believe that meeting people where they're at and helping them be the most successful is the way to support your employees. So it only makes sense for people with ADHD or other disorders to get the accommodation that they deserve. And so in doing that, we designed a system that limits it basically asks me what my day is. Is this a day where I can only get one thing done, or do I actually have a place I've rented or reserved, or I'm at a park where that I'm going to stay at for 3 or 4 hours, and I have a lot of time to get stuff done. And I tell my AI system that every morning, and then based on the guidelines of that accommodation system, it helps prioritize what I actually have to get done. And I can feel successful at the end of the day because I know my capacity, what my capacity is. And even if I didn't have ADHD, it wouldn't be that much different. Mm. And understanding that and being supported and knowing, hey, you know what? I did knock out everything I needed to get done today. It helps me feel less guilty and self-challenging that I didn't get enough done because I have a system literally tailored to my disorder that allows me to do that.
Yeah, that's brilliant, really.
Oh, and then being able to tell people no or tell people I'm going to have to do that later, that was a huge skill gain as well.
Yeah. Because not every customer is a good fit for every, right?
Yeah, and for us, we have to be super selective because the solutions we build are often bespoke. So clients that need execution support, for example, we hire and put together a bespoke team to help manage that account specifically. So we have to be very selective on which clients we're taking on. It has to be a really good culture fit and align to both of our goals. But ultimately, we want to try and be a partner in their success. And if we can't legitimately do that, if we don't feel passionate about their business, then, you know, we're honest about that.
Yeah. Okay. So if, Erica, you're being really quiet.
No, I'm just listening because a big hot topic button for me was the AI, and you answered that beautifully. So yeah, the responsible AI folks don't understand that phrase. So thank you for clarifying what that was. So that was a big one for me. I'm a big believer in using AI as a tool, not as a crutch. So that's a big difference.
And we also say when we implement AI, especially when we're presenting it to clients on what we want to do, your irreplaceable human team oversees the AI. It's doesn't work any other way. That's the only way that makes sense. And there's a growing archive of knowledge coming out of academia about the effects of AI related layoffs and the negative effects it has, not only on the company itself as far as what it can do, but it actually spreads a culture bomb. And eventually that makes more institutional knowledge leave and makes companies less successful over time. So I think we're really at the right time to learn how to do this right. And there's a lot of companies that have done this wrong and we can learn from them.
Yeah. Okay, so how, I always like to ask, how can our listeners support you? So what would you like to ask of our listeners?
Excellent question. So here's kind of what I'm looking at it as. We have that white paper that we want to complete when we think it's something that can really benefit society. Right now, we do have a number of clients that have just recently joined us, which we're doing everything we can to support. But what we really need is people to help support this particular initiative, our social initiative. And we're looking for advisors, we're looking for mentors, anyone willing to potentially be part of the nonprofit board. Donations we accept, but they're not tax exempt because we're currently a for-profit, but we are forming the Change Tank as a nonprofit once we have executives that we trust for that. We're looking for experienced nonprofit leaders that can help us with that. And then volunteers and anyone else who wants to have a chat and see if they can contribute to our mission. So feel free to visit our website. It's hybridhelix.consulting. And on there, you can find a contact us, and we're more than interested to take that in. Otherwise, we have a page called Change Tank, and on that page, you'll be able to learn all about what it actually is and what it's looking to accomplish. And we do have forms to sign up for each of those positions.
Awesome. Erica, would you put up the company name again one more time? And then for those that are listening to the podcast and do not have a visual, it's hybridhelix.consulting. That's HYBRID helix, HELIX.consulting.
That's
Andrew, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for the work you guys do. I'm really inspired by Two Flower Productions and the podcast that you have. And I know that my partner absolutely has been a huge fan of your podcast before I met you. So it's really cool to see what you're doing for the community. So just thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Yes, it's an honor for us to be here and be able to support New Mexico business owners and nonprofits and the queer community and the queer business community. So, yeah, thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to AutoVita for being the sponsor of this podcast. And please keep listening, everyone. Thanks for your support.
Thank you.
Bye.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.